All right, good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here. My name is Telmo Sampaio. I am a program manager with the Azure CAT. That's the customer advisory team at Microsoft. More specifically, I work in there in a team called Patterns and Practices. Some of you may have heard of that team before, some of you may not. Let me just ask you a question that's kind of related to that. How many of you here are developers? All right, there should be a few of you. All right, cool. Then the rest, I guess, are IT pros, right? IT pros? I use both hands, developer, IT pro, so it's all good. All right, so for those of you who are developers, you probably have heard of Patterns and Practices in the past. We created the enterprise framework that some of you have used, the application blocks, right? The enterprise library in .NET that some of you may have used in the past. We're still kicking, creating content for developers and now IT pros as well, more specifically related to Azure. And I'm here today to talk about some of that work, but also to talk about how you can run Bash scripts in Windows 10. How many of you are running Bash on Ubuntu on Windows today? Okay, I got a few. All right, that's good. All right, so those of you who are using it, hopefully you're going to see something new here. Those of you who have never seen it, this is the right place to be. Haven't used it, this is really where it should be. We're going to be talking about a few things in here. First, we're going to discuss why we're allowing you to run Bash on Windows. Why are we doing this? Second, we're going to talk about how that is done by using the Windows subsystem for Linux. Going to understand a little bit of how that works. And finally, I'm going to show you how to use that and run the Azure CLI and Bash. Right? And that's really where I'm going to be showing you some Bash scripts. Actually, I'll show you one large script in there. Right? So let's start with the why. Why are we doing this? Right? Why should we run Bash on Windows? So first of all, it's really related to you guys, response to feedback. Right? The Windows team opened up some feedback channels, and we heard things from customers like you, such as, "Hey, we want to be able to run Unix-like utilities in the Windows command prompt." Right? That was a very common feedback that we had. We took it a little bit further, but that's really what that was about. We want some improvement in the command prompt. The command prompt hadn't changed in about 25 years. So we wanted to do something special with that and bring some of that stuff that you guys were asking for. So those are basically the things that we wanted. Let's improve that console. Let's bring those Linux tools to Windows. Right? It's really all about feedback. But why do I need those tools? Right? Well, we don't live in a Windows-only world. We don't live in a Linux-only world. We live in a very mixed environment today. I see that every day at my job. Right? When you see those beautiful stickers out there, "Microsoft loves Linux," it's not just a sticker, it is the truth. We use it every day. I use it. I see Linux every day in my life. One of the reasons is because we work with a lot of open source projects. And when we do that, a lot of those projects have some dependency on Linux features. In Azure CAT, when we're creating what we do today, which is a lot of guidance around Azure, we look at that from the point of view of how our customers are deploying this. They could be doing this from a Windows computer, they could be doing it from a computer running Linux, a Mac computer, and we want to be able to give them the same experience no matter what their device is. So that means that we have to deal with both Windows and Linux. And we also want to make sure that you can do that without switching from one computer to another, without creating a new virtual machine, right? From one single device, running one single operating system. So reality, well, shouldn't say one single because it's running two. So reality is, when we're using Bash on Ubuntu on Windows, you're doing everything you have to do in Windows, from Windows, using your Linux command prompt. Right? So you don't have to have a separate machine for that. And that is a reality that I see a lot. Right? The group of people that I work with, I have a few developers there with me. Actually, they tell me I'm not a developer anymore, but that's a different story. Right? And when we're building our scripts, we're doing PowerShell in Windows, we're doing Bash in Linux. Right? They used to go in and have a separate VM running Linux they would go to do all the bash stuff. Now they don't have to. They can do it in Windows. And you can also take advantage of some of the tools that most of you guys, developers, are familiar with, like Visual Studio and VS Code, to develop your code, and then just switch to Linux and test it. So you can do your scripting, your bash scripting in Visual Studio Code, and then switch back to the Linux, run it, test it, without having to switch back and forth to a different machine. So that's really what the idea was all about. This was built for developers. That's why I was asking, you know, who are the developers in the house, right? There's still some things that need to be worked on. It is a beta product, but we're going to talk about that in a little bit, right? So how do we solve this? We wanted to integrate those Linux and Unix tools into Windows. We also wanted to be able to run native Linux binaries on Windows. So that's really what we're doing. There's no VM in the background. There's a real Linux tools. I'm going to show you that. It's on Windows. It's running in Windows all together. We do call it Bash on Ubuntu on Windows. I'll comment on the name if you want offline. I think there's more to it than that. Right? It's really a subsystem for Linux. Sits on top, outside of the kernel, and allows you to pretty much run a Linux distro on top of Windows. We've seen some people who figured out how to even change that distro. Right? We're using Ubuntu, Thrusty. Some people have gone in and put some other distros in there, and it worked. I'm not saying that you should, but it's something that can be done, right? So the reason I'm saying that is just to understand that this is completely distro agnostic, right? We're using Ubuntu because that's what we chose to do, but it could be extended, right? All right, enough of that. Let's see how we actually do this stuff, right? First of all, one thing that you need, if you don't, you need to have the Windows 10 Anniversary Edition. If you don't have that, this is not going to work. But hopefully you all do. If you don't, download it. That looks weird. Can I change my settings so this looks cooler? Should have done that before, shouldn't I? Oh, that's as far as I'll go. Okay, that's all right. I'll handle that. All right, so first of all, this is Windows. I'm running Windows 10 Anniversary Edition. I want to go ahead and install Ubuntu on Windows. How do I do that? So basically, if you go to your Windows Features, and you scroll through here, you will find right over here the Windows Subsystem for Linux Beta. Right, so you're going to turn that on. Right. When you do that, you're going to hit OK. It's going to tell you, hey, you're going to have to restart your machine. It takes a little while. It actually downloads the Ubuntu 14.04, I believe, distro. Right. So it does take a little bit to get that set up. That's why I'm not going to do that live here. Another thing that you have to do, you have to go on to Update and Security. And down here it says for developers. There's an option for developer mode. You got to make sure that you enable that. At that point, you're going to be able to run Bash on Ubuntu on Windows. It's really Ubuntu or any distro running on top of Windows. So let's take a look at that. I'm going to run that for you. Whoop. And let me get a command prompt in here, actually. Quickest way to get one. There you go. All right, here's the command prompt. I'm going to make this a little bit bigger so we can all see it. And actually, 24 is not that bad. Can you guys on the back see it? All the way back there? Yeah, good. Awesome. All right, here I am. This is the Windows command prompt. We all know it. I'm going to go ahead and do a bash. So ran bash. Right now, I'm actually running an Ubuntu shell. All right. Whoa, okay, Ubuntu shell. Is it really Ubuntu shell? Let's see. Can I do an ls in here? Yay! Oh, wait, that's silly. I did an ls. Whoa, All right, awesome. So let me prove to you that this is really Ubuntu. So let's do an LSB release. Actually. All right, look at that. This is Ubuntu 14.04. Trusty. So yeah, it is running Ubuntu. It's not Windows. There's nothing crazy going on in here. Well, there is a lot of crazy stuff going on in here. But it is Ubuntu. It's running on the same computer that I have running Windows right now. It's running on top of Windows. But it is pure Linux in here. Right? You can see that when I did my ls in there, we saw the Linux file structure. That's what that looks like, right? We see that there are some attributes in there to those files that are specific to Linux that don't exist in Windows. The way this is happening is, in the back end, we're using the NTFS file system, and we're using extended properties to make sure that those things are created for Linux, right? So we're extending on top of it. A couple of things you need to know about that, because that's the way this is done today. There's no specific file system separate for Linux. There are some performance issues that you have to consider. Right, today when we're writing to a file, or actually writing twice, the file and the extended properties. So there's a little bit of a hit on performance. We're working on that. That should get better soon. Right? Like I said, it's beta, so it's going to get better. And the main reason for me to bring that up is those of you looking at this and saying, hey, I can go ahead and run Apache right now. You can. It will work. We don't recommend it. This is not really a server feature. This is really a Linux. We want to see it as a client. Right, we don't want to see it as more of a developer environment for you, for those people that need to work in both Windows and Linux at the same time and don't want to go out and do other things. But yeah, it is Linux. It is running on Windows. It is using the NTFS file system. I can even access that from here. Right, so I could go in here and say, hey, show me my C drive. Whoops. Fat finger, there we go. Let me just clear this so you go back to the top. And this is my C drive. Notice that there's some files in here where the attributes are kind of messed up. Look at the swap file. It's like, whoa, I don't know what this is, right? Because you need to be a Windows admin to get there, so that's what's going on in there. But yeah, I actually see the Windows file system. I can navigate through this, create files, and then switch to Windows, I'll see them. It's all good. It's all NTFS in the back end anyway, right? All right, let me show you that this is really Linux a little bit more. I'm going to do that a few times. Let me try using less. And let me get some CPU info here. And you see this is Linux. It's running on an Intel processor, so it actually has access to the underlying hardware. Not all of it, right? There's still some things that need to be worked out. Some of you who've been using this for a while, you know that if you try to get access to things like the networking stack, like if I do an ifconfig, it says, hey, I have no idea what this is, right? This is something we're working on. Networking is a little bit more complex. Linux handles ports differently, sockets differently than Windows does. Right, so there's going to be a little bit of time in there for that to work. Doesn't mean that you don't have network. You do, right? You can access things through the network from this Linux environment. As a matter of fact, I don't think I have the latest update. If you're not a Windows insider, you should become one. You got the daily builds. I think beginning of last week there was a push out, and we actually have ping now, so you can ping, which you couldn't do the week before that, but that currently works. What else? It is Linux. I can install packages from somewhere. So there's a nice little package I like called Fortune. Oh, it's not here. All right. Apt-get. And it's, yeah, it does work as Fortune. Because the actual package name is different, but yep. Oops. Two things, sudo. And if I could spell install correctly, that would be awesome. And it needs my password. And you set that password up when you do the install. It will ask you for a password for your root here. So let me clear this up. Let me run Fortune. And whoa, that's a big one. Let me try another one. All right, better hope the life inspector doesn't come around while you have your life in such a mess. Okay, awesome. This is a silly game, actually, right? Let me actually take a look at this. Let me do something else. Let me do sudo. How many of you remember Calcet? Oh, a couple of you. All right, awesome. I feel like I'm getting old now. All right, so let me do fortune. Calcet. It just makes the cow say something. So there you go. Woo, that's beautiful. All right, is this stuff really Linux, right? I just installed two packages, so it's got to be. But let me prove it to you that it is. Where are those packages? I think it is under games, fortune. I believe so. Let me just test that. What should I do wrong here? Oh, I see what I did. I don't want help. I want you to list fortune for me. Whoops. Wow. Caps lock. That's awesome. There we go. I forgot it's fortune-mod. Remember what I was trying to install? I thought it was a different name. All right, so there it is. It's under user games. There's fortune right there. Let me run this. User games fortune. And I don't think I need sudo for that. All right, if you take a look at this, look at the OS, Unix, System 5. Great. Keep going down here a little bit. You're going to see that it is a 64-bit app running in Unix, well, Linux, really, right? It is a 64-bit Linux binary. So this is not some kind of Win32 process. This is actually running Linux, right? It's the real thing. We're even going to create a little app in a little bit. Well, not really an app. Create a little piece of Unix code in there. All right, let me show you something else. There's a nice little utility that I like as well called Kaka Utils. Look up, whoop. Why do I keep doing that, man? I need a real keyboard. Thank you. The name is interesting. Kaka Utils, that's exactly what you think it means, all right? But I just like it because it looks kind of cool. Oop. There you go. Set my little Linux shell here on fire. So yeah, this is pure Linux, right? It is the Ubuntu distro running on top of Windows nicely. There's a lot of things that we can do. I do want to show you some bash scripting, so I'll show you a couple more things and then we'll get into that. Let me get out of this thing. Because that was cute, but yeah. How many of you have used Tmux before? All right, so Tmux is going to work. There's actually some improvements coming into it. They're kind of interesting. Whoa. There we go. Notice it's green down there, so it's kind of running Tmux right now. Well, it's not kind of, it is running Tmux. I could go ahead and do a vertical divide here. So that's a control B percent, if I'm not mistaken. Well, I just did it, so it is, right? So now I have two little tabs in there that I can go and run stuff on. Let me do a vertical divide in here. And let me do even another one. And I'm going to start putting some stuff in here. Remember Kaka? Let's do a Kaka demo. So that's going to be switching through different things. Control B, control to the right. Oops. That didn't do what I wanted. Yeah, so I'm just resizing this. And I'm moving around here, and we could do a Fortune Tau C over here. And I might need to make this a little bit bigger. There you go. But we got the stuff running in there. Let's go over here. Anybody ever use Midnight Commander back in the days, yeah, for managing your file system? Awesome. I don't think I have it installed, but sudo apt-get. Let's see if it can spell install this time. Midnight Commander. And here's my password. And let's run Midnight Commander. Whoop. Ta-da! There you go, Midnight Commander running. Yay, exciting, right? So yeah, all those little Linux tools, they run here, right? I'm not, there's nothing that's Windows related happening in here at all, right? You can SSH from it. I have to check if you can SSH to it. I believe, I'm not sure you can yet. I'll have to check that. But that's another thing we didn't have up to a few days ago, SSHing from it, which to me is interesting because now I'm going to take PuTTY out of my Windows machines. I can just open it as an SSH. A couple of other things that I've seen people do and then not quite understand what was going on. You can run a daemon in here, right? So it's a little service running. If you close the command prompt, you're literally shutting down Linux. So your daemon is not going to be running. Just be aware of that, right? So if you're doing that, make sure that that Windows is up and running. All right, what else can I show you here? Let's, we did that. I'm OK. Yeah, let's do a little bit of crazy stuff. Some of you said you're developers, so let's see if you like this kind of stuff. Let me go over here. And I believe I have a demo folder. And in this beautiful demo folder, I have an amazing piece of C++ code. Yeah, I just use VI. Ah, Vim. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, I'd rather use Visual Studio Code, but you know, this is a quick one. All right, so this is a very, very simple Hello World app written in C++, right? I'm just going to get out of here because I really don't mind it, so I'm going to quit it. So yeah, Vim, it works, right? Let me compile this. So I'm going to go ahead and do a G++ hello.cpp. Hi. What was that? Whoops. What did I do? Oh yeah, that's show. Thank you very much. Hi. And let me take a look at this now. I got something called hi, I run it. And it says, nope, of course. I keep forgetting what I'm doing here. All right, there you go, hello world, yay! Awesome. So yeah, it is pure Linux, as you can see. It's pretty, right? You believe me it's Linux now? That was just me trying to prove that to you. Right, it only took me 20 minutes. All right, that's not bad. I have to check. I'm not, yeah, I don't think we're going to, don't think we're thinking about that yet. About NFS. Yeah. So let me, I'll leave this here for now. Actually, I'll close it. Let's talk about a few other things related to this that are important. So we had our little demo. Yep. This is a slideshow. Go over here. All right, so this is all running on this Windows subsystem for Linux that I mentioned. This is purely user mode Ubuntu running on top of that subsystem that's in the kernel. Basically, what that does is it translates the syscalls that come in from Linux to the Windows kernel. Right, so that's really what that Windows subsystem does. And there are things that you can do here that you can't do in Windows. For instance, fork. You can't really do that in Windows, but you can do that under your Ubuntu shell on top of Windows. Not every Linux syscall has been translated into the kernel yet. So we can see, you can actually look at GitHub. We have a list of issues in there that you can add to, and you can say, hey, we need this, right? So if there's anything that you find that's not there, let us know, right? We're working to actually increase that. And it is increasing on a daily basis, right? Like I said, even simple things like ping that weren't there are there today, right? So we're looking at that, and we'll take it very seriously. What works, what doesn't work? I just showed you that a lot of your tools that you like using, they will work. So Bash, apt-get, Git, Ruby, Node, Ruby, right? So all that will work. There are some networking features that don't work. So we saw that I couldn't do an ifconfig, cannot do a traceroute. You can do a ping today, right? But like I said, we're closing that gap. We want this to be a full experience to our Linux users, right? So they can work with Linux without ever leaving Windows. And one of the things that you can do here is run the Azure CLI as well. So how many of you work with Azure here? A few of you, all right? Anybody ever worked with Azure CLI? Okay, that's good. That's a good number of hands in there. Anybody work with Azure from PowerShell? All right, not as interesting. I thought not as many. I thought it was going to be most of you. All right, that's okay. So yeah, like I mentioned, there is a reason for me to be here. It's not just to show you Linux, although, yeah, I did do that, right? But also to show a little bit of why we're interested in this, right? And this is exactly the reason why most of our customers are interested in having Linux running on Windows. We are in a world that's not Windows only anymore. I mentioned that a few times already, right? And one of the things that my team does is we provide guidance to the community, to our customers, and also internally to Microsoft on Azure and how to deploy complex environments in Azure, right? We do that by looking at some of the biggest problems that customers have. And we come up with best practices, we put them together, and you decide, hey, now let's create some scenarios around those best practices, and let's give our customers some artifacts they can deploy related to those scenarios, but I want them to be able to do that in Windows and Linux, right? So in the past, like I said, our developers have to switch back from one computer to another or use multiple VMs to get this done. So we're working on this reference architecture project, right? Like I said, we look at things that customers are doing, problems that we fix for customers. We come up with those best practices. We call them golden paths. And we publish that, and now we're saying, hey, let's create this environment using ARM templates to deploy this, but I need to do that from Windows and from Linux. There's a list of those reference architectures. I'm not going to go through them. I don't want to sell you on this, because what I want to sell you on is how we actually used Bash and Ubuntu on Windows to let that happen. So let me show you a little bit of that. So let me switch back over here. 27. That's me. And let me make sure I got all my stuff in here. All right. So, oh yeah, I closed it, didn't I? All right, here we go. Bash. And clear. All right, so, Git. Yeah, I installed Git before we started, actually. I was going to install it here, but I just want to show you that we got Git running, version 2.9.3. All of those reference architectures that I mentioned, they're actually published in GitHub, right? So I want to go ahead and bring that down in here so I can play with it. Let me go ahead and do this in a folder over here. Let's create a folder. Actually, let's not create a folder. Yeah, why not? We had a demo. Let's do the demo folder. Oop. That wasn't here. That's right. It wasn't here. Let's create a demo folder. Let's go in there. And let's go ahead and clone that beautiful. And here's the advantage of having Windows and Linux together. I can just quickly do this. Whoops, that doesn't look like GitHub to me. That does. All right, so let me get the reference architecture. Let me go back and do this. All right, so cloning that. So we got that going. Let me take a look at what I have in here now. There's a reference architecture. So tab completing works. It is Linux. What else do I have in here? Let me get the multi-VM guidance. Compute. Multi-VM. And if you take a look at this, we have a couple of scripts for deployment. We have a PowerShell script, deploy reference architecture, PS1, and we have a deploy reference architecture, SH. So we actually have Bash script in here, right? I want to show you that Bash script really quick. So let's take a look at it. It is deploy Bash. Whoa, all right, that's a lot of stuff. Let's do this in a different way. Let me open up Visual Studio Code. Again, like I said, the advantage here is really having the two worlds together, right? So I'm in Windows, running VS Code. I'm going to go ahead and say, let's open that folder. And it's already open for me, actually, but I created a demo folder, reference architecture. Let's do that one. All right. And make sure that you guys can see this. And we're taking a look at that guidance multi-VM. All right, and we have this deploy SH. Now look at that. Hashbag, bean bash, got a couple of variables in there, all right? Got some regex going on. This is beautiful, it's pure bash in here. All right, look, echo, got an if then, and if in there, while. So yeah, this is all Bash script, right? And it is using the Azure CLI here to actually deploy some stuff to Azure for me, saying, hey, I'm going to deploy a virtual network. Here's a deployment to run. I'm going to deploy some virtual machines. I'm going to deploy some security groups, right? And it gives us some output. So all right, how do I actually use this, right? Well, first of all, I have to, I'm not going to change anything in here. I'm just going to leave it as is. I'm going to have to go back to Bash, and let me clear my way here really quick because this is crazy. Let me go ahead and install the Azure CLI. I believe it's called Azure-CLI, npm install, yep. All right, so that will do that. Dum-pa-dum-pum-pum. All right, so that may take a couple of minutes. Well, shouldn't be that long, really. So while that's happening, any questions so far? Yeah? Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa, we got some errors in here. I think I know why. Because I forgot to put sudo in there. I usually just do a sudo dash I and stay in there, but forgot to do that. That's my bad. My password is right here. There we go. Any more questions? Yes, sir. So, no. No. We don't support anything like that at this point. Yeah. Yes. They do, that's very true. Yeah, so, oh yeah, I'm sorry. So he's saying that one of the problems he has when going back between Windows and Linux is how CARES returns are handled, right? Because they're handled differently in the two operating systems. So what happens when you do that? That is a problem. So tools like Code, when you're doing Bash, it understands that that's going to run in a Linux environment, so it fixes that for you, right? But you're completely right. If you open something like Visual Studio that's unaware of that, that will be an issue, right? So yeah, you're going to have to handle it. Yay, look at that, we got it installed. So we got Azure, the Azure CLI in here. Some of you said you have used this in the past, so I'm gonna go ahead and log into my Azure account in here. I'm gonna do an Azure login. And it says, hey, open up this beautiful page. So let me do that. And there was a code there that I needed to authenticate. And I know I didn't get the whole thing. I realized way too late, but here we go. And let me do this. Let me log in with my Microsoft account. And it says I'm logged in. Go back in here. It should, there you go. Got me there. All right, so great. I'm logged into my Azure subscription. Actually, to my Azure accounts. There are multiple subscriptions that I have. So let me see what subscriptions I have in here. There are a few of them. I'm going to take one of those beautiful subscriptions. I'll take this one, copy that, and I'm going to use that. So we had that beautiful deploy reference architecture S8. So let me go ahead and run that thing. Deploy reference architecture S8. All right. So trying to do that, it says, hey, there are a couple of options that you have to specify in here that I didn't. So I have to specify location, operating system type, and subscription ID. So again, this is something that my team created, right, to deploy an extra environment in Azure. This specific environment has multiple virtual machines running behind a load balancer. If you understand what that is, that's fine. If you don't, that's okay as well. In an availability group, and it could be running either Windows Server 2012 R2, or it could be running Ubuntu, depending on my OS type choice in there, right? And I have some parameter files that I could change to play around with this. I don't want to go through that because that's really JSON stuff for ARM templates, right? But I could go in there and say, I want to have 20 virtual machines or 10 or 13, and as many storage accounts, if you know what that is, right? And then just save those parameter files and run this, and it will do that for me. But let me try to do this. Let me specify those beautiful parameters in here. So let me do a location. I'm going to say US East 2. It's probably the closest one to us. OS type. Let's do Linux. Oops. Yeah, I see what I did there. Thank you. Let's do Linux. And the subscription, I copied that one before, hopefully. All right, and do that. So it's going to run that bash script. It's going to echo out some stuff and tell me, hey, I'm deploying this to Azure. There were some errors. That's awesome. US East 2 is not available for resource group. OK. It's East US 2. All right, so awesome. At least we got something that was helpful. I should know that, actually, because I do this all the time. I normally don't deploy anything in East US. That's my excuse, by the way. I usually do Central US. And yes? Oh, that doesn't work. OK, I'll repeat the question. Just. Okay, so the question was, do we have any plans to put this on Windows Server 2016 so that you could control that machine through SSH, go in and, yeah, and bash? No, not that I know of. Sorry. So let me repeat the question for understanding. How do you get developer mode packages for what? For Windows 10. Enterprise. Okay, I'll take that offline with you because I'm not sure there's an answer to that. I have the anniversary edition in mind, but I don't think I have the same MSIT image that you might be using. So well, I can take that offline with you. Yeah, awesome. Yes? So that's a question, or are you just saying? Okay, yeah, all right. So what he was saying is that some of you asked whether you could SSH into it, and I said, I haven't tried it, and he's just saying that, yes, you can. Right? You just start a daemon, and you can SSH into that. It's got to, it cannot be 22? Yeah, and that's the beauty of this feature. Okay, okay. So what this gentleman said is it's probably because Windows is trying to implement OpenSSH natively. So that's why I have to run a different port. But the beauty of this that I've seen, and you know, I don't work in that product team, but I'm very close to them because we started using this when it was really early on. So we've developed a nice little bond there. One of the things that we were talking about last week that's amazing is how the community has embraced this and how you guys are doing so many crazy things with this. This is not supposed to have any kind of X Windows support. Some of you have been able to do that and implement a GUI on top of it. We don't support it, but we've seen people do it, right? Some of you got other distros of Linux running on this. Again, we didn't even tell you how to do it. So some of you just figured out where that distro lived and like, hey, if I just put a distro in here, it should work. And guess what? It did, right? So that's the kind of stuff that's really interesting that we like seeing. And like I said, we need that feedback from you as well to make this better, right? Any more questions? Yes. Do what, I'm sorry?
Permissions?
Yes, they do.
Okay,
yeah.
So I can pull the terminal and go into someone else's profile.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Yes, sir.
How is this better or different than
Segway? I'm sorry?
Segwin.
Segwin. Okay. Oh yeah, Segwin. I don't think it is much. It's yeah, that's true. That's right. This is native Linux here, right? Yeah.
How does it treat Kerberos within the shell? Like if you are doing any sort of Active Directory,
I don't think it does. Yeah, when you're in here, you have your own user for Linux. It doesn't integrate back, right? You have to do a bash, and then the command that you want to do. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So you do what you create your batch file, your SSH, right? Or oh yeah, a batch file, and in there you call bash, which starts the shell, and then whatever you want to run in that shell. All right, does that? No, it does not. It does no. That's a good question. I gotta check on that. See if we can do a mapping. That's interesting. So this thing's going to take a little while because it's deploying, I believe, 5 different virtual machines. Let me switch back really quick here so we can bring this to an end. Oh, wow, we got 58 seconds. Awesome. So what we saw here, we talked about why we're doing Bash on Windows. We talked about the Windows subsystem for Linux, right? And I showed you that you can use it, real Linux applications, and you can even use the Azure CLI for that. All right. One thing is make sure you get your evaluations done. I know it is exactly time right now. I'm going to hang around if you have questions. If I can't answer those questions, I can take them back to the Bash team at Microsoft. All right. So thank you guys very much for your attention here today, for being here. I'll see you around.